Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, welcome. Oops, give me just 1 second. Sorry, over here. Whew. Alrighty, there we go, Sportscaster. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Run Boys Fantasy Network. We are live this morning on Sportscaster, on YouTube, on RunBoys.com as well. Make sure you guys go sign up for RunBoys.com. And as well on Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, anywhere that you can pretty much listen to us. So if you guys are listening to us on your car ride, if you're not able to get your fantasy question in either the live streams on Sportscaster or YouTube or RunBoys.com, then hopefully we get your questions answered and we get you taken care of. But other than that, I would like to introduce my co-host for the morning shift, Nick Howard, ladies and gentlemen. Nick, let him know what's good.
What's good, everybody? How's the Run fam doing this morning?
I think the fam is doing good after that Adesanya fight that I called last night.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
It's damn good. That was damn good.
The knockout happened earlier than I thought, but that was a good one.
Yeah, it did happen earlier than I thought, but damn, I enjoyed every minute of it and calling it. As always, we got to start the show off right before we get into your morning dose of fantasy football content. As always, me and Nick, we got some coffee this morning. We're coffeed up. I put a little rum in mine.
Atta boy.
Let's do this, Nick. Cheers to me. Cheers to you. All the Rum Boys and girls, what it do? Yep, dilly dilly, bro. Let's get it. Alrighty. So, wanted to kind of get into a few things. First things I wanted to get into are waiver wire guys that may be available to you. And the first guy that I wanted to talk about is Geronimo Allison. Geronimo Allison is probably going to be available in your leagues. And I feel like he's worth the grab, a last minute grab from the waiver wire if he's available to you. Nick, what are your thoughts on that?
I like Geronimo the player. I also like Scantling, but it's hard to say like who's gonna be fed week to week with that Green Bay offense. Like, I feel like one game it's Graham, one game it's Scantling, one game it's Geronimo, one game it's Steven, like Jones just getting the lion's share of all the carries for the whole game, and they just play good defense. I like the player, but I don't know. A guy that I'm really looking at and that I'm really high on, I'm all about consistency. I would go grab a guy like Cole Beasley.
Cole Beasley is definitely someone that is still available on the waiver wire. So make sure, you know, you guys go and get him. I mentioned him during the waiver wire episode that I released Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday. Tuesdays is when we do our waiver wire episode here at the network. And I mentioned, you know, Josh Allen, it sounds like he's going to be suiting up today. And with Josh Allen suiting up, he's obviously definitely going to be a valuable go-get type of piece today. Another person that I wanted to mention was Jalen Samuels. It sounds like, you know, with the Pittsburgh Steelers that James Conner may play. I'm not seeing anything. I'm trying to check here if there's last minute. He doesn't carry any injury designation into Sunday's game against the Ravens. He did have an ankle injury. Let's see here. This year he has been averaging about 3.2 yards per carry throughout four games. But I mean, he could see more against the Ravens defense. That's often going to stack the box against him. I don't trust Jalen Samuels in that situation. But I do want to educate folks to go ahead and go and grab Jalen Samuels for future references, for future purposes, especially James Conner owners. I'm lucky enough to already have him as a handcuff in my flag football league. But definitely go and get Jalen Samuels. If not now, then look for later on in the week.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I don't know what's going on, dude. They got Ben.
Yeah, they're trying to work Benny Snell in, and he's slowly getting worked in.
Yeah,
guy that we had interviewed, But I don't see him. I don't see him being an impact player yet. Not enough to take away from Samuels and Connor, especially the way that the Steelers run that Wildcat. With the Steelers run that Wildcat, that's another piece that makes Jalen Samuels a valuable pickup too.
Yeah, I would say I've been seeing too Rojo being available in a lot of leagues. If he is, I would give him a chance because Peyton Barber is very inconsistent and they tend to feed the hot hand in Tampa Bay. And what's his name? Oh my God, I always forget the dude's name. Oh, the coach.
Bruce Arians?
Arians, yeah. Arians always feeds the hot guy. Like, he hot potatoes the running back position. So, if Barber's slow, expect Rojo to get in there and get a little bit of work.
I like that. Yeah, no, Rojo is definitely slowly becoming Rojo's backfield, which is unique in many of ways. I wasn't high on him coming into the year, but he slowly started to take over. Last minute actives, really quick. Stephon Diggs, Juju Smith-Schuster, Vance McDonald, Julian Edelman, Akeem Hicks, Terry McLaurin. We were talking about some of these last minute actives here prior to the show. And one of them that we were talking about was Julian Edelman. Are we holding him back against Washington? Still dealing with the chest injury. Me personally, I'm thinking he's just going to be thrown out there as a decoy. What are your thoughts, Nick?
You talking Edelman?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's hard to say. Like, I have Edelman, and everybody fucks with me because they say I look like Edelman, and I get texted on game day like, "All right, I need a big game from you." But I have him, and I'm kind of like, I'm sweating a little bit here before kickoff, like. I'm kind of having a gut check, like, should I throw in Sutton instead? But I don't know what's going on with the Packer offense. Like, that's like another team, almost like Green Bay, that, like, you don't know who the hot guy is going to be. And they're running out of options there. And it's pretty much down to Dorsett or Edelman, like, who we kind of, like, trust more. Like, does he feed Jules being banged up a little bit? Or does he, like, go with a guy like Dorsett? Or does Josh Gordon finally have his, like, value, glad you got him on your team game today.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm gonna have to go with Dorsett getting the hot hand in that game. I think it's gonna be a heavy Philip Dorsett, type of receiving day for Dorsett. Therefore, I'm going with him. I think that Edelman's gonna be utilized as a decoy often. I mean, going up against that Washington offense, is he gonna get open even as a decoy? Possibly, probably. You would have to. That one's a tough one. Definitely gauge your temperature leading up to kickoff. I don't feel like it's bad if you start him, but I'm not gonna sit back and be like, it's safe. I'm not gonna sit back and be like it's a safe play right now. I don't feel like it's a safe play. With the chest injury, I feel like he's going to be a limited participant. If you have other pieces, then see about those other pieces.
Yeah, that's like kind of the gut feeling that I have. I'm sitting here like, man, Sutton's been getting fed. I have him. I was talking with you. I have Allen Robinson too. But I don't know, that London game is always up in the air. Like, you don't know what's going to happen. And I think Chase Daniels is going to game manage and throw, like, only 20 times. And I don't think he's going to get his shares today.
London games have, speaking of Rumtober, spooky season, spooky stuff happens in London games. I'm not trusting anyone in London games. Speaking of London as well, Tyrell Williams is going to be inactive for your Raiders. I see you have the Raiders gear on. He was just announced he's going to be inactive. Well,
he's got a bad foot. They rested him all week. They gave him a run on Friday, but they gave him rest all week to see if he could give it a go and be ready, but he's not.
Yeah. Akeem Hicks is going to be active for the Bears. States a Boogie fan in the YouTube chat. Appreciate that. Want to take a look at Pittsburgh. We talked about Connor. Vance McDonald's going to be playing. I say that he's got to be a must-start at the tight end position. If you have him in your lineup.
What up?
Bobby up in here, up in the building. But I say that Vance McDonald is definitely gonna have to be a must start on that Pittsburgh offense, even though he is dealing with a little bit of a shoulder injury, which is gonna affect him, you know, going into contact, which is what he is best at, catching the ball across the middle at the highest point and absorbing the contact. As well as what are we thinking about Juju, fellas? We know that for a fact you're gonna start Vance at the tight end. What are we thinking about Juju Smith?
Juju's kind of had a slow start so far, but I think he's gonna have a good. I think he's gonna have a solid game today. I think that Baltimore secondary is gonna get exposed, and I think Juju's gonna have a good. I think he's due for a big game.
Yeah, if
I'm.
Go ahead, Nick.
Oh, my bad. I was going to say, I think he's going to have a decent game, but I'm a little low on the match just this week. I don't know if Juju's going to have a good game today. I think he'll have an average. I think he'll net you about 10, but I don't know. If you have somebody else, he's on my list of, like, possibly sit kind of low on this week, guys.
So they're playing Baltimore, correct, right?
Yep, and he's dealing, and he's actively playing, but also has an issue with his toe.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be honest. I'm fading this start, guys. I'm sitting Juju. I don't have any shares of Juju in any leagues, and I shied away from that because, like we had spoke about during the offseason, Nick. You know, he's gonna see those double teams. He hasn't shown me that he can deal with being the wide receiver one on a high power offense. I'm just not feeling it. So I mean, with that being said, I'm saying that you are going to have to go ahead and sit Juju. Hopefully, you have someone else better.
Yeah, I'm with you. And too, like being a Browns fan too, and knowing if it was anybody else that Pittsburgh was playing, knowing the AFC North. It's going to be a dogfight. It's going to be a run game, defensive game. I don't know if there's going to be even a whole lot of throwing attempts for either team. I think it's going to be close. I think they're going to go run heavy. And if they do pass quite often or a lot, it's going to be like short, like third and sixes, like stuff like that. And I think a guy like McDonald, I think running backs catching out of the backfield is going to be big. I think I'm not even big on Andrews this week. In that matchup. I think they're going to run the ball majority of the game, and it's going to be close. Like the playbook is going to be open because it's going to be a 3-point game almost till the end. I think.
Baltimore not a team that fumbles often, especially with Ingram in the backfield. Pittsburgh a team that thrives off of forcing fumbles, and turnover differential. I'm not sure how I feel about that one there, Nick. In terms of Mark Andrews, I think he's still going to be an effective guy for you. If anyone's going to be able to pass in this game, I think it's going to be Baltimore. I mean, but it's definitely going to be a bruiser type of battle with these two teams. We do have two other last minute actives that we gotta talk about, and that is Stephon Diggs and Terry McLaurin. We will start off with Stephon Diggs. Is Stephon Diggs going to bounce back today? Is Kirk Cousins going to get him the ball?
I would say the opposite. I think Thielen's going to have the better game.
Yeah. I think Thielen's
going to have the better game.
I think Rudolph and Thielen are going to have a better game. Diggs will get a little bit, but nothing crazy, I don't think.
I feel like in order to prevent all of these trade talks and him feeling the way that he does, I mean, he's been feeling the way that he has for a hot minute. You know, he felt like he was the number one receiver, then Thielen, you know, bust out last season, and I think that kind of messed with him a little bit. I'm going to go ahead and state with Diggs, he should have a good day because Kirk Cousins is going to be forcing him and Thielen the ball. Cousins said that he watched film. He's aware now of when they are open, and where.
I think that's a crock. I just think I think Cousins is saying that to just cover his own ass. But I do think you're right, though. He is going to force feed them, too, all game. Even if they're covered, even if they're double covered, they're going to get forced to football.
Yeah. I feel like yeah, there's going to be a lot of forced throws in that Vikings game, which makes them plausible for this week. If they do not go off this week, guys, then we're not even going to be talking about Thielen and Diggs in terms of trade talks at that point. It's at that point we're probably going to be talking about heading into week 6. It's damn near time to drop them. Yeah, it's pretty much
straight up sit or drop. Yeah.
Exactly, straight up sit or drop at that point. I like what
the
Panthers do.
The offense, dude, is floundering. That offense is floundering. They have no identity whatsoever.
Except for the run. All they do is run with Dalvin Cook. I like what Panthers dude 101 said. He said he started Keenan Allen over Juju. I like that pick. I like that.
Yeah, no, yeah, I would. That's a smart pick too, because Allen, you got to go with the hot hand. Allen's just been on fire this year.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. No, that's good fantasy football.
The most important thing, he's been healthy.
Exactly.
And they're playing the Broncos. The Broncos give up a lot.
He's 100% healthy, and Keenan Allen, when healthy, is a dangerous receiver. Dangerous.
Bad man. Terry McLaurin. Terry McLaurin, guys, against the Patriots tonight. I know that defense is stout. But, I mean, every time that this kid is in, he scores a touchdown. You know, every time that he's the only receiver that team has. I say that if you have McLaurin, you're playing him.
Play him. No, I'm a Patriots fan. I'm telling you, play McLaurin, because they're going to do everything they can to find, even if they have to use him in jet sweeps and stuff like that, they'll find ways to put the ball in his hand to let him use his skills to. He's one of him and AP are the only two players that could hurt the Patriots.
AP, I have him in Dumpsville, you know.
But the problem is he's not being used. Like the Patriots have shown at times that when you block, when the offensive line blocks correctly, you can run on them in between the tackles. And who do you do that with? Peterson.
I mean, we'll see. Maybe there was something magical in that marijuana joint that grew in smoke while hitting on that little young thought pocket. Nick.
Sorry, Robbie. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna pass it on over to Nick.
Oh, I agree. I think Terry is gonna have a decent game. He's the guy there. I just worry about, you know, coming off an injury and where he's at. But in the same thought, in the same breath, I'm sorry, Robbie, but I projected that the Pats would win 27-6 today. And I think it's just going to be field goal for your skins. And I don't know if he's going to get in the end zone, but he is going to get touches.
Robbie, I think Terry will have – he'll have somewhere between 60 and 90 yards.
We'll see. I mean, the stats go to show that this man finds the end zone.
He's gonna get his, though.
He's gonna get his. Sure. That, I mean, either way, I'm saying that we're starting F1 McLaurin. We're starting F1 today, guys. Fire up the F1.
You have to. He's the most dangerous weapon that the Skins have. If you have him, you have to start him. You have to.
Exactly. If you have money on the line, you're rolling with Scary Terry. Let's talk about T.Y. Hilton, guys. The quad. It's coming off the quad injury. BKB, I appreciate the dono hype over on Sportscaster, buddy. Dilly dilly. Coming off of a quad injury. For the last couple weeks, I've been telling people to sit him. I'm going to let you guys go first before I go ahead and deliver my take.
Go ahead, Bobby.
He's having a real down year. Like, it's to me, he's too hard to trust from week to week. So I don't, and now he's is he really coming off the injury? Because I've heard that he's not 100% and he's going to try and gut this game out. And if that's so, Rebbe, you know, quads, man, for a receiver, that's killer. That's deadly. Like, you, they have no drive off the football, no separation. So that's a tough one for me to trust there.
Yep. I agree with Bobby. That kind of, he took my take a little bit. I was even going to mention the quad, but yeah, the quad and hip, those aren't good. You ain't good. Like,
exactly. It's going to affect your ability to cut on routes.
Especially with the receiver. Especially as a receiver. That's how you get separation, is the explosiveness off the line.
I mean,
you can't do that, you're toast.
But they're playing Kansas City on prime time. They're playing Kansas City on Sunday Night Football. I mean, should we take that into account? Big Sage, big lights, Kansas City's defense that just allows anything and everything.
Yeah, no, especially their secondary. The defensive secondary of the Chiefs is not good.
You know, guys, I'm going to gamble here. He's projected 11.4 points in ESPN standard leagues. I'm going to say let's go ahead and play T.Y. tonight. Let's go ahead and play T.Y. tonight. I mean, obviously you're not starting T.Y. over, you know, guys like Julio and Chris Godwin, and, you know, especially him coming off of a quad injury. But let's throw him in there. Let's throw him in there into the start column.
If you have an empty flex, he might be a good flex play. Because I could see him getting you 7 to 9 points.
Yeah, if you're
the Chiefs always get into shootouts, and their secondary is kind of
whack.
A swinging door. At sometimes it's closed, sometimes it's wide open.
I'm with that, and I like that swinging door analogy for the Kansas City Chiefs defense. Okay.
Yeah, no, they lost a lot of talent on D too. Don't forget about that. Like, they, you know what I mean? So they're it's not like their D is the same as it, you know, it's definitely weaker this year. It's definitely weaker.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Can we touch back? We were talking about guys to grab for everybody like last minute off the waiver wires. We went through quarterback and running back. You guys want to go through the other positions too? You guys have anybody?
And
we went receiver a little bit.
Yeah, we could definitely.
Listen, if you're not on the Gardner Minshew train at this point, you need to get on that. You need to get on that because you need to step aboard that sucker, because he's showing poise. He's impressed me for sure.
You know, with Minshew mania in terms of fantasy football, as it translates over to fantasy football, I'm waiting for him to break that 20-23 point threshold in fantasy, and then that's when I'm like, run and go get him. Pat, I'm sipping a little coffee, I'm definitely gonna say, you know, if you're in a two quarterback league, go get Minshew for sure as your QB2, a guy that I would venture out to go and get is Chris Thompson. Chris Thompson has been the lead back in the Washington backfield. He's a good sleeper piece that you could maybe, you know, go ahead and snag.
He's quietly seen a lot of action in the last two games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's because Gruden's not trying to keep his job. Let's see here. I want to throw this out there.
Don't worry, Robbie. He'll be fired at the half today.
I would thank you. That would make me so happy. another guy that I want to mention, and this position does not get talked about often, but if you're in a league, and if you find yourself in close battles and in games of inches, so to speak, then I would like to interest you in Joey Sly. At the kicker position, I coached this kid when he played linebacker in Pop Warner. Went to high school with his brother. Shout out to the North Safford alum. Shout out to the Wolverines. Go and get yourself a share of Joey Sly. And I promise that if you are in a game of inches, he will pull you through. He will pull you through.
He's been pretty reliable.
The fact that he's that he became a kicker when he went to college. He went from being a linebacker in high school to a kicker in college. Absolutely astonishes me. Let's see if we have anyone available on the wire at the tight end position.
Oh, I got a couple of hot takes on the tight end position.
Let's hear them.
But first, I want to dip back a quarterback to grab that he's not available in a whole lot. I think like some 30% of leagues, I think he's still available. But another backup like Gardner that kind of got the spot and has been doing good and sneaking into top 10 fantasy status is Jacoby Brissett. If Jacoby Brissett's available and you need a quarterback to stream this week, grab him, especially this week.
And on daily fantasy, he's going to be really low. Like, that's a low buy and a high risk. You know, that's a big, you know, that's a low buy with a big reward attached to it.
Yep. At the wide receiver position, I want to name two more guys. I said Beasley, but I'm also looking at if Golden Tate's available, try to grab him up. I know you said him earlier this week, Robbie.
Yep.
A guy that kind of like under the radar, that wide receiver with Pittsburgh, Deontay Johnson. We were just talking about Juju. We were talking about Washington kind of like not doing all good. McDonald kind of being hit or miss. Deontay Johnson's a guy that I think is going to start to get some touches and work in the offense more and more in Pittsburgh. But my hot take with tight end position, not a lot of people find like sleuths or like good guys to pick up at the tight end position. With my Browns, with Njoku going down and them trying to find like a pass catcher, an extra weapon for Baker, underneath, Ricky Seals-Jones.
Yeah.
On my list. He got
that's a good one.
And another one, I know he is like he's avoided like the plague in a lot of leagues, and like knock on wood, just even me mentioning his name, he may get fucked up. But Tyler Eifert, I think, is gonna start to turn it around and get more touches in that offense, especially not being able to run the ball like they think they can. Or like you would think they would be able to with Mixon.
Mixon is awful.
Mixon. I don't know what's going on, but he is not running like he was running last year.
Yep.
Like not even close.
And I'm not big on AJ Green. I'm not big on Boyd. I think Eifert's going to start to be that like fail safe guy.
Exactly. No, I'm with that. We don't even know if A.J. Green's going to end up playing this year because of how just terribly awful that they're taking. I agree with...
Robbie, I'm with you. I bet they IR A.J. Green.
No.
Yep. They do.
For DeMarcus Robinson.
They're going to trade him.
Yep. Really quick, we do have... I did see that in the chat there. Gucci Strapper fan asking, should I trade Peyton Barber for DeMarcus Robinson? I'm going to actually say no. I'm going to say no. Yeah. Here's why. Tyreek Hill should be back in the next week or two, which is only going to give you 2 weeks of Robinson. That's going to – you would have automatically – 2 weeks from now or a week – maybe even a week from now, actually. You're going to be looking back at that trade and you're going to realize, fuck, I just lost and I just lost bad. Hang on to Peyton Barber because any other week, it's any other week between him and Ronald Jones. Okay, so hang on to Peyton.
Well, I would say to make that move is because I think that Robinson has built up a rapport with Mahomes. He's gained his trust, and with that backfield, like you know, I'm not big on Barber. I'm not even really big on Rojo with them hot potatoing like that. Tampa Bay is like the Eagles. And the 49ers, they're like the three teams that like I avoid any of their backfield players, period. That's why I would make the move.
I like it.
So you guys, I came in when you guys were talking about Edelman, right?
Well, yeah, we have mentioned him. Yeah, what do you got surrounding Edelman?
They'll more than likely just use him as a decoy today.
That's what I said.
I don't think that cracked rib is back to where it where they want it to be. So to be honest, from what I'm hearing, up here, they're, all intents and purposes, Julian might, he might catch a few passes, but it's probably, here's the thing, Tom Brady's not going to put Julian Edelman in harm's way. Like, he won't throw him a football over the middle of the field. This is, in my opinion, this is going to be a heavy Philip Dorsett game.
Yep. Yep, that's exactly what I mentioned earlier. That's exactly what I mentioned earlier. So I couldn't agree more.
Heavy door set.
Let's see here, gentlemen. How are we feeling? Here, give me one second. I want to go ahead and make sure I grab this name here. One second, and I lost it. Damn it. Oh, Corey Davis. Okay, so how are we feeling about Corey Davis? He's available on the waiver wire in about 48.2% of leagues. He amongst wide receivers, he ranked 60 throughout the season thus far. They're playing against Buffalo. I'm fading this option. I feel like AJ Brown's the better receiver in that offense. What are your thoughts?
I like AJ Brown a lot. I think the chemistry, even against the Pats, Brown had I like that chemistry a lot between him and Allen. I think he's going to slowly but surely climb that trust ladder with Allen too, and he could have a really big potential.
I like it. I like it.
I do believe in AJ Brown's talent. Like I see him as a mismatch to a lot of corners. And coming out the slot, like if he does, like mixed up with linebackers, like coming over the middle. I have Davis in the Run Boys League actually, and I kind of got him back before just as trade bait because I felt like this was going to be the year he put it together, being like a first round pick. And I don't know how I think yet. Like I'm kind of still have that wait and see attitude, but it's all about like who you know, and you got to pick other people's brains. Like the thing with like fantasy with sports takes with anything, you gotta absorb information and you gotta get your own perspective and like just talk to other people. And for that, like my neighbor is a Bills fan, and for that reason, we were talking earlier in the week, and I heard that White be marking AJ Brown a majority of the game. They were gonna like let Davis the guy to beat them, so that's why I would lean Davis a little bit, but I would still, if you have him, like he's gonna ride my bench this week because they're playing the Bills. Like, yep. No ifs, ands, or buts. I'm going with a ballsy move, like double ballsy move, like all in, ride or die. I have nobody playing at the tight end position this week because TJ Hockenson's on bye. And I'm also starting Melvin Gordon, who's unproven, over a guy like Corey Davis, playing the Bills.
So, why would you do that?
Dude, because
watch it work.
Bobby, because he wants to...
And in fantasy, it's all about gut feelings, man.
Bobby, listen, I need everyone, especially in the Cleveland area, if you guys have fantantasy football sadness sightings of Nick Howard out in public at your local bar, wandering the streets with a lost shoe, with missing a shoe, drunk as fuck.
Send him to me on Twitter.
Send us. I have a feeling that we will see Nick Howard in the fantasy football pit of misery. It's going to happen. It's going to happen this week. And if he does pull it off, then I will state this. Going no tight end and starting Melvin Gordon here in week 5. Nick Howard, you have the biggest balls in fantasy football, first off, to do so, my friend.
Hey, you got to believe in your other guys. Any guy could have a game and go off. Any guy.
All I'm going to say is at Runboys, spell with the Z-N-E-T. If you guys have a Nick Howard sighting, and if he's walking around looking like Jay Gruden, sad and depressed.
No, man. I keep the same energy, man. And if I do get like that, it's for like 1 second. I vent. I get a couple motherfuckers out, and I'm back to being myself, man. Like, I keep that same energy, win or lose. I talk shit, win or lose. I'll talk shit if I'm up by 10 or down by 10.
I'll be sure to send you a special bottle of rum at the end of the fucking day, bro. Let's go ahead.
Might be a celebratory bottle of rum.
Oh my gosh! Who are you facing again?
Banger.
Oh, okay, yeah, Brandon. Yep, nice. Let's move on to defenses, guys. What many are anticipating to be the game of the week, the Cowboys versus the Packers. This is going to be at Dallas. Packers are visiting Jerry World. What's good, Mr. Carter? I see you in the chat. Are we benching the Cowboys defense? We know that we're probably benching the Packers defense due to the fact that they're 24th against the run. Aaron Rodgers projected 18.6 fantasy points against Dallas. I mean, he's only scored more than 14 fantasy points once this season. Start the Dallas defense, sit the Dallas defense. These two teams have history. What are we thinking?
No.
You said it's at Dallas, right?
Yep, it's in Jerry World.
And the Dallas secondary has struggled, like big time struggled. The D line hasn't been too bad, but the back half of that defense has struggled. How many times have you seen the Cowboys blow coverage?
Oh, plenty. That's what they're good at.
But Devontae Adams is done, right? He's a no go for today, right?
He's a no go, but that makes Graham, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and Geronimo Allison that much more valuable.
Valdez-Scantling might be a good flex if you have him.
Yeah. So I mean, I feel like I'm a big believer that history repeats itself. That bad man Aaron Rodgers, he's gonna go out there and he's gonna come out there gunslinging. And if that happens, that takes place, I have him projected more than 18 fantasy points today. I think he possibly gets you about 23 fantasy points today. I'm benching the Dallas defense.
I don't trust the Dallas defense. I would fade that defense against Rodgers today big time. I would say that's a trap decision right there. Because you might look at it and be like, oh, it's in Jerry World, you know, they're gonna play well. No. Aaron Rodgers is going to go into that dome, and he's going to have himself a day. That's a trap decision right there. I would stay far away from that one.
Okay. Yeah,
I feel the same way. And to look back, like, I always keep the receipts, man. I always say keep that same energy. And looking back, do we remember all the crazy losing their minds Cowboy fans that were bitching and moaning against the Dolphins? Like, they're driving on us. What the fuck?
Yo!
Like, well, you don't think that the fucking Packers and Aaron Rodgers is going to just, like, light you up and pick and play, pick his poison, find the open guy, and just play with you all day? No.
This could be the game that Aaron Jones breaks out.
That's what I was just about to say. Damn you, Robbie. Or Bobby.
Yep.
I was just about to say.
This could be the game that Jones breaks out.
In one league, I have Chubb and Jones, and they both have tough matchups. And I'm just like, dude. They're studs, man. It's gonna be a decent game for them. Don't sleep. Like, would you start a running back two over a stud? No, you wouldn't.
Bro, I'm saying Aaron Jones is gonna have a huge day. Chubb is the one that I worry about, but I think he could get something going. I mean, especially against the 49ers, like, come on.
They're hitting. They got a good D line, but on a one week they're on it, and the next week they're
If Chubb can get into the second level of that 49ers defense, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's funny
once he gets about 5 yards of momentum, he's going through somebody.
Yeah. It's funny that we actually started beginning touching on Cleveland versus 49ers, which is going to be our Rum Day night football game. Make sure that you guys join us on Monday night where we call, you know, on any day we call all the action, but, you know, especially Monday night. Funny that we began talking about that. Baker Mayfield, he was only sacked once last night, his last outing, and pressured about 16% of the time. In regards to him being pressured about 30% of the time throughout the duration of his previous games, Is the offensive line starting to get things together in Cleveland? Is this safe to say that maybe we can begin starting Baker Mayfield?
Robbie, how many times did me and you say, I think all three of us said it, sooner or later, Cleveland's going to figure it out offensively. And when they do, watch out.
Mm-hmm.
When they pull all that together, all that talent together, and when they figure it out and when they get an identity, they're dangerous, man. And I think slowly but surely they're getting there.
Yeah. As a Browns fan and constantly keeping my ears to the streets and like just my own analysis, my own perspective on things, losing Zeitler was a big deal. He's a great pass blocking guard. And I think Baker kind of came in a little bit. Well, one, he's one of those guys that feeds off of kind of like him drawing up his own imaginary beef or actually having physical beef to like work against. And I feel like the hype train kind of like fucked with that a little bit, like made him like not have that edge. And he just started to get that chip on his shoulder built back up again. But I think he kind of came into this year like expecting to have the time and that protection that he had last year. Even though one guy doesn't like, really make like a big, big difference, a guy like Zeitler does in the pass game because he's just that good. And like I said, I think he just kind of was used to having a set amount of time or a couple extra steps, having a couple extra seconds to improvise. And like now he doesn't have that and he's got to make quick decisions and get the ball out. And he's gotten used to that. And too, another thing that like I kind of picked up watching games is that they tried to feed Odell early on in the year, and like now they're kind of feeding the open guy or like going with like that set play, that matchup, who it should go to. And that's why you saw a guy like Ricky Seals have a good game, and you saw Jarvis Landry have a good game. I do like Jarvis Landry going forward, but this week I would kind of bench him if you have other options, because coming off the concussion, I don't know if they're going to really like kind of like key on him, or like they're going to get him going until he's like good for next week and weeks after. But a guy like Antonio Callaway, I'm even considering if you're in a deep league or if you got a bigger bench, if you got a spot and you need a wide receiver, any of the guys we didn't cover earlier, grab Antonio Callaway up because he was top five in the league last year for a place more than 40 or 50 yards with like guys like Lockett and Perryman, who was on the Browns too. A couple other like big play guys like that. But yeah, Callaway is like a bang for your buck type guy. He will get 30, 40, 50 yard receptions.
Man.
He's their chunk play receiver.
Yeah.
That's what he is.
You just maybe move Landry out the lineup. I was like, yeah, he's right, coming off concussion protocol. I like that you threw that in there, Nick. Very, very, very good take. Let's flip to the other side of the ball in that game. Obviously, this is a person that you are sliding in your flex. If I see any of you with this person, any of you that compete in leagues against myself, if I see any of you putting this person in an RB1 or RB2 slot, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do something. Tevin Coleman, he should be in. Is he a flexible option? Are we flex playing Tevin Coleman Monday night? Kyle Shanahan has shown optimism about getting him back. What are we thinking?
He's another one that's hard to trust.
I say let him spin. I say let him spin. I say let him flex. He's been.
Well, you see, to me, it would depend on the rest of your lineup. Like if you it would depend on that's a hard one to trust for me. Like there are other guys, other kind of sleepers out there. Like even like some of the sleeper guys that are out there that you may actually get better production out of them than Coleman.
Mm-hmm. So I think a guy like Gordon.
I would kind of fade that.
I think a guy like Gordon will end up having a better game than him. Even like just being like worked in and like he's fresh. I know he's not going to get as many touches, but Coleman coming off an injury, I don't know if they're going to really like test it with him. And Breida is a stud too. But like I said earlier, I avoid San Fran, Tampa Bay, and Philly running backs.
Like the play. Because it's that RB by committee is it sucks.
Yeah.
And through, like, having experience with Shanny, like, he was here in Cleveland. He was in Atlanta, too. But my experience with him in Cleveland, when he was here with Petten, was they would feed the hot hand, too. And they, like, liked guys that, like, were gadgets that could, like, kind of do it all.
Yeah.
And I feel like Rita is more of a gadget than Coleman. Coleman's kind of like a just hand it off, have like a zone run or a draw run and see what you can get out of him. Brita is, like, in my opinion, the guy that you can throw on dives, you can throw on tosses, you can throw on screens. He's just
If you want my opinion, Nick, Brita sees the field better than Coleman.
Yeah.
Brita sees the field better than Coleman does, in my opinion. I think when you do those zone blocks and when you set those screens up, I honestly think Brita sees the field better than Coleman.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
I like that. I wanted to toss this out there. The Cardinals are going to be facing the Bengals this week, today. They're going to be facing them today. Larry Fitzgerald, okay,
Kyler
listen.
Gets his first win.
Yep, Kyler gets his first win. Remember, if Kyler gets his first win, you guys get the Kyler Murray interview. Now, pardon me, where I was. Someone just said something really not cool in the chat. Wow. Larry Fitzgerald, make sure that you have Larry Fitzgerald, okay, in your lineup. Christian Kirk is going to be out. Bird is going to be out as well for the Cardinals. Larry Fitzgerald is going to get fed like a monster.
Everything.
Yes, everything.
Yeah, everything.
Gentlemen, we have about 10-12 minutes, like anywhere between 10 to 12 minutes left here in airtime on our show. Connor Burke stating that he's hyped for these games. I love it. Anything else that you feel like we pressingly need to touch on? Frank Gore, I say this is a guy that you could possibly start at your flex. I'm trying
Robbie,
to think.
I have a question for you. I haven't been able to find much on it, so I don't know if you have. What's the deal with is Singletary for the Bills playing today?
Inactive. Inactive.
Okay. He's inactive. All right.
Yeah. And I've been trying to, like, refresh.
So yes. Go with Frank Gore. Roll with Angry Frank. The Bills will feed him. That's going to be against they're playing the Titans. That's going to be a smash mouth run, like roll with Gore. Yeah.
I said something earlier. I've still been refreshing and trying to find something on it. But I don't know what the case is with Mike Evans today. He came up as questionable, like, late yesterday. And I'm still trying to find something with him. So if you have Mike Evans in any of your leagues, I would be paying attention over the next half hour until game time and see what's going on with him.
Yes.
Maybe a late practice injury.
A late game injury update. Like, it'll be an injury update, you know, later. In that scenario, guys, be following us on Instagram and Twitter, Facebook. Get in touch with us somehow, some way, via social media. I'm checking up on Mike Evans right now. I have him listed as healthy.
You do?
Yes, he is listed as healthy. We are all good on the Mike Evans fears. He's 100% go.
Okay.
So maybe he just, like, I don't know, stubbed a toe or something in practice or something.
Nah, he's going to be fine.
Something stupid like that.
Yeah, he's all good to go from what I'm showing here.
And Robbie, just for an update, Josh Gordon was on the field earlier today at what's that, FedEx down there for you guys, FedEx Field?
Yep.
He was on the field warming up and planting, and they were showing him catching some passes, and they say game time decision, but he looks pretty healthy.
Yeah, Gordon should be fine for you guys.
Because he popped up with a knee on Tuesday, and he had limited all the way through, you know, through Friday. But from what I was seeing in warmups, he looks pretty good to go.
Yeah, no, I'm with that. I mean, especially playing against my Redskins, Josh Gordon is definitely a start.
Let me just say this, Robbie. I think they finally found some medication or some treatment that works for Gordon, because the dude, like, you haven't heard one word about any rumblings or anything.
No.
Off the field issues. Like, so I think they finally found, like, knock on wood, man, they finally found some treatment and some stuff that works for him. Because even when he talks to the media, bro, they might have actually found a way to finally, you know, work with him and keep him on the straight and narrow. Because he's been spectacular for us this year.
Yeah, no, he has. I like that he's bounced back. Showing that you can bounce back from mental health issues and things of that nature. And that's really the best storyline this season in regards to Josh Gordon. So I would love for people to definitely, you know, check out his story and what he's been through and how he has bounced back. And the fact that he's not getting more coverage, and we're actually now talking about that on our show. Come on, guys. Get it together, sports media.
Yeah,
like even the Boston media was saying they might have actually found a treatment and a system and a way like between meds and treatment. The dude's been spectacular, man. Like, no complaints, no off season issue. Like, it's been a good year for him this year.
Absolutely,
I agree.
Do we have any other last minute starts and sits, guys? Anything pressing? Diggs or Ridley? Ask Connor Burke, you're going with Diggs over Ridley. I am not high on Ridley.
Yeah, I agree. And somebody too asked a while back, I answered in the chat, I don't know, I saw you put it up on screen, but they asked Fitz or Diggs. I said Fitz.
Fitz, yes, Fitz. Yeah. Fitz over Diggs, Diggs over Ridley. I am trying to think like super rapid fire right now. Phillip Lindsay is a go today.
Somebody asked me if we could give them three sleeper flexes.
Three sleeper flexes
for this week. Yeah, they're in daily, so they want three sleeper flexes for this week.
They're in daily. So anybody,
they're in daily. Yeah.
Ooh, a guy that I think is gonna have a big week this week. Keenan Allen.
It's not a sleeper.
He's probably going to be expensive. But even another guy I think is going to be expensive, George Kittle. He's matchup wise, like looking at Kirk's is going to be out for the Browns. I think he's going to be the guy that's going to eat the most against us. And two, I think a guy like Taylor will do good, but I wouldn't pick up Taylor in a daily fantasy. Fitzgerald, I think, is a good guy to look at and grab. I really think he's going to have a good game. At the flex, running back, I say Ingram. I think he's going to have a big game and get fed a lot. Mark Ingram. And I would go like we said earlier, but to have a little bit of extra coins to throw at like a solid guy at your flex or wide receiver or running back, go with high risk, high reward Jacoby Brissett as your quarterback today, regardless of who you already grabbed there.
Obviously, for guys I'm gonna mention for your friend, obviously, you know, DJ Shark, do. You gotta go and get DJ Shark. Let's see, Peyton Barber. I know they're playing against New Orleans. Tampa Bay is playing against New Orleans, but I think that he's going to be a sleeper today, especially after what Rojo has done in the last couple of weeks. Alshon against the Jets. You know, you got to love that pick right there. Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Aguilar is probably going to be cheap for you today as well. Maybe if you're daring enough, you could play. You can go in and play him at the flex today. He's going to get production. Golden Tate would be a guy that I'd mention. Yeah, man. I mean, those are guys that I would have to say, as sleepers. You know, DeMarcus Robinson in that Kansas City offense. Daryl Williams, not Damian Williams. I know Damian Williams is gonna get some touches today, But I still think that Daryl Williams, you know, and I don't think they're going to utilize Damien a whole lot. So Daryl Williams could possibly, you know, get a couple of touches and steal some action. But yeah, those are who I have as sleepers today.
All right, fellas. Hey, I gotta run. I gotta go set up for this Pats game.
Yep, I know you do. I gotta get ready for Rum Zone. All righty, Bobby. Hey, I appreciate you for joining us today, brother, and I hope that you have a great one.
Y'all take it easy. Go Pats.
Oh yeah, take care, Bobby. And on your way out.
Yep, kill your stream. All righty. So Nick, anything else? We have like 3 minutes left, like 2-3 minutes.
I don't know, I named a couple guys that I'm really high on this week. But we talked possible guys, waiver wire pickups, last minute pickups. We didn't, however, cover last minute. If you're a defensive streamer like me, teams to look at. I think we should cover that, and if there's any like last minute like starter sits,
yes,
with actual guys in lineups.
BKB asked TY or Sammy Watkins. I'm gonna say Sammy Watkins.
I said him too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You said Sammy Watkins. So me and Nick are both on Sammy Watkins. Defenses to look at. I'm going to state that the here. Give me 1 second. Let me go and make sure I double check and check it out. So obviously you got to start the Vikings defense against the Giants. The Titans, I think, are going to have a decent day today defensively. Let's see. I just want to double check something with Tennessee.
The defenses that I would look at, while you're looking that up, I'll say I know I'm going to be a homer, but I'd say either the 49ers or the Browns defense, because I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. My prediction is 16-10 for that one. And I think it's going to be kind of like a battle of who can not turn the ball over. I think both teams will. I think it's just going to be a low scoring. I'd look at them. I'm very low on the Packers defense.
Yes.
I think it's going to be a shootout. fuck you, Bobby. You said Tucker. And another one. You said the Titans, or you said the Vikings. I think you said...
Yeah, the Vikings, you got to play against the Giants, absolutely.
Titans are another one. I don't sleep on them. I can. They still produce sacks. They get turnovers. They play like tough defense. And
Philly,
I maybe give the, like you don't know like the Bills. They play smash mouth. I could see it being like a grinded out like a lot of time of possession, like low scoring game between them two. But I still got the Bills winning that.
I like it. I like it. Eagles against the Jets, abso-fucking-lutely. Let's see, Houston against Atlanta. I like that one. Pittsburgh, I'm on the fence about. I'm on the fence about Pittsburgh because they've been doing well the last 2 weeks as a defense, but I just feel like Baltimore's going to carve them up today.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a run game. I think there's going to be a big game from Mark Ingram.
Yeah. Other than that, guys, that's all that we have. I mean, we did you know, run out of time.
Real quick, one of the Rum Boys guys, JD asked, Sutton or Gallman? I said Sutton.
Sutton. Yeah, Sutton. They're playing up against the Vikings. Nope, I'm not trusting any of the Giants in that one. Alrighty. Yeah. So, other than that. We appreciate all you guys for stopping by, tuning in, showing love. I know it was early for a lot of people, but I feel like we got a lot of stuff answered. We talked about a lot of good topics today. We will catch you guys here in the next 30 minutes. Well, actually, like 25 minutes for NFL Rum Zone. As always, cheers to me. Cheers to you. All the Rum Boys and Girls, what it do? Dilly dilly.
Hey, man, thanks for having me on, and everybody in the Rum fam, good luck with your pick'ems, your fantasy, and your teams today.
Hell yeah. And we are out of here. Alrighty. Boom. Done. Cool. Good shit, bro.
Dude, yeah, that was good. We did.